Okay, now clip 7. Okay, now here we go. Here's a better shot of the PDP-6 console area, right at the start here. So again, we see the teletypes. There's a little bit different. We've moved the furniture around in this picture, and it looks like the 340 is on the other side.
Okay.
And okay, here's the AMF arm again. You can see here that it had cylindrical coordinates. It had a rotate, it had a vertical, and then it had an extend. And the extend worked by having a hydraulic motor with a square shaft. And in this clip, you could see that turn in a moment. The way the extend works, the extend comes out here, and you see the there it is right there, that square shaft.
Mm-hmm.
That's connected to a hydraulic motor, and then that is coupled to a gear which can slide along as it goes vertically.
Uh-huh.
And it's geared to the extend motion. Okay, now this person here is Bill Gosper, and he was the primary programmer of this thing and of the and then here we have a picture of the hand, and this is the same hand as we saw before, and this hand really one of the very best things about this we're going to see in some of these clips is this this calibrate thing that he did. So as you see this hand, it has a little gnomon, a little piece of metal with a triangle on it. Now, what we're seeing here now is the vitisector. In this era, we were probably working with 16K of 36-bit memory. So there was no way that you could hold a whole raster of data in the computer. It's just completely impossible. So in order to deal with that situation, we made our own camera called a vitisector. And this is a camera that had random access deflection. You'd say, X, Y, you feed that out. It does magnetic deflection. and after a while, you read back what the intensity is at that particular point. So that's what you see here in the first part of this clip is the little thing kind of looks like a bug running around on the screen right there. That is actually the program reading input from the vitisector and sensing the light, sort of tracking along the lines of the cubes and so forth, whatever lines it finds in the scene. And then it gets them together and says, okay, well, there must be a cube here, and that's how it tracks the cube. So it's...
Okay, vitisector camera because of memory shortage.
That's right, was random access. And basically, so here it is coming down and picking up a block, and this one is probably...
So when we see those dots flying around,
yeah,
what's going on is that the big screen, the round screen, is showing the program running, and we were looking at that dot running around on that screen.
Well, we're looking at that screen, of course, has been programmed in order so that the people looking at it can tell what the program is doing.
Right.
So it's purely an output device.
Okay.
But what's also going on is that the program is also reading input from the vitisector at areas corresponding to where it's looking.
Okay.
And it's using the random access feature of the vitisector, and it's actually running along the individual lines. If it sees what looks like a line in the screen, it just steps right along that.
Along that. Okay. What am I looking at here?
Okay. What we're looking at here is the AMF arm and the hand.
I mean the image itself. I'm not looking at a screen.
No. This is the arm.
No.
This is a picture that's been taken of the setup as it's in operation.
By a camera.
By a movie camera. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's independent of the computer thing. Okay. The computer is reading in through the vitisector.
Got it.
Okay, well, this
so this is the
This is picking it up, and it looks like it's probably just picking up that cube that it just saw.
So the cool thing about this is the sensitivity of the arm.
That's not what I'm saying, actually. The calibration, and we'll see a better example of the calibration.
Okay.
But anyway, that clip we just saw, I think, is the first thing that we've seen that represents actual hand-eye coordination. In other words, we saw the arm doing something, and we saw the eye doing something. This was the first time where the eye actually saw something, and it did all the transformations and whatever, and it basically sent the arm down and picked it up, since it saw it there.
The guessing time about this particular incident, the first time
65, 66 kind of time frame. But again, I'm not going to, I really shouldn't say that even that much. Okay, now here we go with this Minsky Bennett arm again. And this is Bill Bennett himself right here driving it. And as you can see here, he has a little gnomon. He has just a little pseudo arm made out of pots that he operates in his hand.
Okay.
And the hardware servos are set up so as to drive the physical arm to wherever the pots are. So he's using that to sort of wrap around himself here.
Okay, so he's the controller through the pots.
Yeah, it's purely. And here we see it. It in fact, it is four sections.
Is that glass?
That's Bennett, Bill Bennett.
Bill Bennett.
Yeah. And the arm has 8 degrees of freedom. It has four sections. Each section has 2 degrees of freedom. And we can kind of see the linear pots and the linear hydraulic actuators in this picture to some extent.
Okay.
And here he is just wrapping it around himself some more and so forth. Okay, now let's see what else we see here. Here's a little more detail.
I'm sorry, that again is that the AMF arm?
No, that's the Bennett arm. It's a different, it's completely different.
It's not the Minsky or anything. It's
No. It's the second arm. It's the second one that's here. They were the two primary ones, although there may have been a few others of.
The name you gave it before was
Minsky Bennett arm. Minsky designed it, and Bennett machined it and constructed it.
Okay, and that's Bennett playing with it.
Yeah, and that's
okay.
Bennett playing with it.
Okay.
And then the other thing we see here is a shoulder. In this picture, it's actually the arm is suspended from a shoulder, and here's Minsky playing with it. Okay, so next picture is Minsky sort of doing the same thing as Bennett was. And the shoulder was a differential type of arrangement, but unfortunately it was never able to be used for anything because of the fact we were unable to deal with the arm from a programmable point of view.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's see. Now the next clip after Minsky, let's see what that is here. It's going to start. Yeah, it's almost 6 o'clock. We could keep at this for a long while. You know, I come into MIT twice a week,
okay.
Tuesday and Friday,
uh-huh.
Pretty much every week.
Okay.
And so what we're going to have to do, I think, is basically sort of get together on Tuesdays and Fridays. And
so
we can.
Good friend to me. If you don't mind, I will. I may want to get somebody in a technician mode or something like that to be sure that we don't lose this stuff.
Yeah.
Or perhaps get some transcription going.
Yeah. Okay, and then this looks like Margaret Minsky here, Professor Minsky's daughter, who was just a young girl at this time. She looks like she's 11 or 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
And she's playing with it there for a moment.
Are you in touch with Marvin?
Not so much in recent years. I just haven't been.
Because it might be interesting to get to tease him into a session sometime with the Margaret Minsky photograph, in addition to all the other stuff that's running around.
Well, you know. Okay, so here's more of Bennett playing with it.
Okay.
And it has a some kind of a stick hooked onto the end of it, which is just, you know, something or other. It means nothing for play. And here they've got the cover on it, so basically, like Lucy wasn't, and that looks like the end of it. Okay, and then at the very end, no, we're back to the beginning. So that's it. That's it for
that's number seven.